This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest, Laura Mundo, founder of the Planetary Space Center. Tonight's subject, flying saucers. You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Standing by in Dearborn, Michigan is Miss Laura Mundo, founder of the Planetary Space Center for Public Information on Flying Saucers and Spaceships. Miss Mundo is an author and is considered by many to be the foremost expert on flying saucers in America. If you'd like to ask Miss Mundo a question on tonight's topic, flying saucers, or make a comment, give us a call here at Night Call. Our number is area code 313-846-6601. The operators are on duty and we're ready to receive your call. Now, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. The number is area code 313-846-6601. So we invite you to make some comments about flying saucers. And if you've had an opportunity to view a flying saucer, we'd like to hear from you. That's area code 313-846-6601. Laura, do flying saucers really exist?
Well, Russ, I guess you just never saw a flying saucer, did you? Or you wouldn't ask a question like that.
Well, frankly, I haven't. Now, have you?
Yes, I have had my own proof that some very unusual craft is in our skies, or I just wouldn't have stuck my neck out for about the past 12 years investigating the situation and passing information on to other people who are interested.
Now, what did this flying saucer look like?
Well, it happened to be right over my own home in Dearborn several years ago, about 1958, and it was round, as large as a two-story house. It hovered in the air alongside a low flying cloud. The jets were screaming through the air. Apparently, it had been picked up on radar. And I stood outside and watched it. I'd been alerted to it by a young man who was working with me who came to the house and said, Laura, there's a flying saucer over your house. Naturally, I didn't believe him. But I went out, and my sons were there, a woman who made her home with me at the time, a neighbor. And we stood and watched this, which was close enough to see detail of portholes and that type of thing. A silver metallic object.
I have a book in front of me called Flying Saucers Have Landed. It's a book that was published, I imagine, about 7 or 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And by a fellow named Adamski.
That's right.
And they have a photograph in there that is purported to be a flying saucer. Now, it looks to me like a giant toy top with ping pong balls attached to the bottom. My engineer said it's a lighting fixture. Now, are you familiar with this book?
Oh, yes, it looks like all those things, but if you saw it, then you'd know that it wasn't any of those things.
Now, why was it over your house?
It has been many places. That very type of ship has been seen all over the world, so I'm nobody in particular.
Laura, are you a drinking gal?
Oh, I like a screwdriver once in a while socially, but outside of that...
Had you been drinking the night that you saw the saucer?
Well, it was in the daytime, and I'm really not a daytime drinker.
It was during the day?
Yeah.
Now, what did you do when you saw this saucer?
Well, I just stood and looked at it, and as I say, it hovered for a few seconds, very, very briefly, and we saw it, mind you, without aid of binoculars. You see, these things come down so low that you don't need telescopes or binoculars. They come down lower than our satellites.
Now, did it make any noise?
No, and that is something that has been reported about saucers. There is no noise to be heard unless they come very close, because they have been seen on the ground and hovering over the ground and hovering right over homes and buildings. And then when they are close, a hum, like an electric dynamo, can be heard. But outside of that, they're silent as they go through the sky.
Well, now, where do you think flying saucers come from?
Well, if you want my opinion, which might be right, might be wrong, I believe they have come from other planets, and those who know more about these things than I do have said that some of the abilities that they have shown, the flying abilities, have proved that they are intelligently controlled and that they are advanced mechanism way beyond ours.
Did your other neighbors see this particular craft?
No, and I don't care whether they did or not. I saw it. That's all I care about.
And your family, your sons?
Well, yes, and they had had other sightings with me as well. Now, of course, if anyone wants to disprove saucers, they could say, well, this mother is brainwashing her children, you see. So I don't use them as witnesses, and they were younger, much younger.
Now, you mentioned portholes in
yes.
the craft. Could you see any human-type form
well,
inside?
They really aren't portholes. Actually, we would call them portholes, but since apparently these people fly their ships by automatic control and graphs, they don't need to look out the window, as it were. But these particular openings are exits for remotely controlled scientific monitoring disks that are let out into our atmosphere, and those have been reported. I saw one of those as well.
Now, what is a scientific monitoring group or
a disk? A scientific disk, a mechanical disk that is sent down into our atmosphere that's perhaps measuring the electronic count of the atmosphere or the activity in the atmosphere or on the ground, perhaps even televising.
Well, Ms. Mundo, how do you know these things are doing the things that you claim they're doing?
Well, I didn't say that I did know. I said possibly they are.
Oh, I see. Do you think that they come from more than one planet?
Well, if they come from one, why wouldn't they come from more?
Well, I'm asking you. You're the expert.
No, I'm not the expert. I don't have all the answers, and I don't believe anybody has all the answers. I am happy to pass on what I have discovered during my 12 years of research, including my personal experiences, for anybody to consider for themselves and come to their own conclusions, you see. One reason that we set ourselves up as an information bureau is simply to help the individual to conduct his own personal research if he's interested, to show him how to get started, what literature is available, and so forth. You see, we're not trying to prove or disprove anybody's sighting, just simply to give them an opportunity to have somebody to tell it to.
Well, can't they tell it to the government?
Well, those of us who have reported it to the government haven't been satisfied with our answers because, after all, they are trying to set up and often trying to explain away something they haven't seen at all, something that has been seen by someone else. And that isn't always an exact duplication. And in many instances, of course, we immediately refer those who inquire or report a sighting to us to report to the government or to the local authorities or Air Force base nearby or whatever, but they've all been so discouraged and often felt that they were being ridiculed and the person whom they were speaking didn't even know what they were talking about often, that they have just become discouraged.
Do you feel that people are interested in flying saucers maybe because they feel a need to escape from the world as it is today, from planet Earth?
Well, that may be very possible, but you see, why are our astronauts going out into space? I mean, why do we have a space program? Is it because we want to escape as a civilization off this planet?
Well, I'm wondering, what do you think about that? Do you think that may be a reason? Some people may want to escape.
Well, we all have all forms of escape, but maybe one of these days we're all going to have to face reality and discover that we are part of a family of planets. And perhaps there might be more advanced people, human beings, on the other planets from whom we could learn to live in a better stabilized society than what we have at present.
Well, now, we're going to send our astronauts for a landing on the moon. Now, if these people have ships that are capable of coming into our atmosphere, don't you think they would land people here?
Well, it's my understanding that they have. There are people who have claimed to have met them. Mr. Damsky, whose book you read, claimed to have met people from other planets.
Our guest tonight, Miss Laura Mundo. Our topic, flying saucers. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our guest tonight, Miss Laura Mundo. Our topic, flying saucers. And if you'd like to call Miss Mundo and make a comment on flying saucers or ask her a question about flying saucers, give us a buzz here at our national Night Call number. Now, the number to call us at is area code, get your pencil, come on, hurry up, area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make the call collect. That number is area code 313-846-6601. The lines are now open, and we await your call here on Night Call. Laura, just before we took the break, you mentioned that you believe that some of these people have visited the Earth. What do they look like?
Well, if I were to go back, say, into pre-recorded history, into the folklore of all peoples, I would discover that there were what might be termed more advanced human beings living quietly and visiting amongst ancient Earthmen who looked like men because they were men, and later came to be called gods or angels or what have you. Now, the same thing could be repeated today, and why would they look any differently than we do? Perhaps they even look better if they've been able to live without war and hunger and poverty.
Now, are you saying that angels actually were flying saucer men?
Well, I'm not speaking in terms of what religions might call spirit beings. I'm talking about a more gradual stage of evolution in advance of us, possibly supermen and women, if we want to call them that. But if they are that evolved spiritually, they wouldn't even consider themselves super.
Just sort of normal space beings.
For their stage of evolution.
Have you ever met anybody from outer space?
Well, I think it's possible that all of us have, if we stop to think for a moment, as I say, become very quiet in our own thinking, and ponder upon the people we might have met throughout our lives. Perhaps they might have been from other planets for all we know.
Well, now let me ask the question again, Laura. Have you ever met anybody from another planet?
I have never had anyone come right up to me and say that they were from another planet, because anybody could do that, Russ. Anybody. Isn't that true?
Well, I assume anybody, and I'm sure that down at the, the mental hospital, that there are some people who believe they are from other planets. But how would I know one if I had a chance to meet one? Do they have bright eyes, or are they extremely intelligent?
No, if they were to blend into our society, if they were to come to us, they wouldn't be too outstanding. There might be some who are much more outstanding than others, and perhaps from time to time we might be introduced to them. That is not radiant beings, but at least with a more effervescent about them than Earthman has. But
well, Laura,
why would they want to stand out now, Russ? You know what we would do to anything that is that unknown, you see, at this point.
What would we do to them?
Well, we would turn on them and tear them apart and crucify them out of fear. We always do that. You know that.
Well, no, I'm not so sure that we would.
We have a history of it.
Do you think that possibly Jesus was from another planet?
I have no idea who Jesus was. I'm sure he tried his best, and what thanks did he get for it?
Well, I have a caller now, Laura, from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, listener on KNEB, mm-hmm. Monty Hopkins. Hello, Monty. Speak right up, sir. You're on night call.
Hello, Gib.
How are you tonight, sir?
Real fine, sir. And you?
Fine. And your comment, Monty?
Well, of course, here's Scotts Bluff. We were in an area where we had a flying saucer scare here about a month ago, I guess. And this thing has never really shook me very much, but I'd like to ask, how do we account for the fact that we have all these saucers flying around and yet, say, Strategic Air Command and so on doesn't have more information on this, that they're actually foreign objects?
Laura?
Want me to go ahead?
Yeah, right.
Well, Monty, perhaps they do have information, because I have been in touch with the Air Force. When I first got into this research, I contacted Wright-Patterson Airfield in Dayton, Ohio, where they've been doing research on this subject for some time, and they told me that they also had a project concerning it, and if I came upon any information that I thought they'd be interested in, to be sure to report it to them. And it's very possible that they are very happy that people like you and I are investigating this on our own and passing the word on. It would be a big problem to release such information. Now, if these people are more advanced, however, you see, they can evade our radar systems. They might have repulse radar systems or anti-radar systems, as Britain and the United States are also trying to develop. And it is not their intention to come in here all of a sudden and frighten us to death, but to come in gradually and thus create a controversy, which is the best way to introduce a new idea.
Do you think that they're coming here in peace?
Well, they have powers beyond ours, and they could have wiped us off the map, you see, in the first moments they had been here.
Well, now, how do you know this?
Well, they have it. Well, of course, to begin with, the flight patterns that their ships take and the other maneuvers that have been noted and have been reported, the speeds, you see, for one thing, beyond anything that our ships could do. Of course, our satellite now is going at great speeds, and so those speeds don't seem to frighten us anymore. But you, Monty, said a flying saucer scare.
Well, people around, we get kind of shook, you know, and I work here at the radio station, and in fact, I'm on duty now.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, you know, when these flying saucers come through, we get a numerous amount of phone calls and people spotting these things at various places, and actually people almost panic, and we're only, as the crow flies, 75 or 80 miles from Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is a Strategic Air Command base, and also where they have quite a concentration of Atlas missiles. And yet we can, there's never much official comment from up there concerning any of this.
Monty, have you ever had a chance to see a flying saucer?
No, I must confess I haven't. I've been out, I'll admit I've looked numerous times so people would call and ask if I'd seen it, but for a while I think I spent more time out here in the yard at the transmitter than I did actually at work, but...
Well, Monty, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for your comments, Mr. Monty Hopkins from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, a listener on KNEB. And now let's go out to Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Paul Hopkins. Gee, that's... Is that a coincidence, or is that for real?
Paul Hopkins?
Yeah, we got two Hopkins. Oh. Paul and a Monty. Hello, Paul. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
Yes, Russ. I thought perhaps I might pass along, and as I'm sure many folks listening may or may not have seen these things, but in 1949, I was in the Air Force stationed at a base in the state of Washington. And to make a long story short, we were trained at that time to recognize all type aircraft, both day and night, and to be able to identify them for many reasons. And one of these, unidentified objects, we'll call it, passed over our base about 11 o'clock in the evening. And being a youngster, I thought it would be great to hear my story and what I had seen on local television or radio or what have you, and I reported it to one of the wire services.
Mm-hmm.
And much to my disappointment, the next morning my commanding officer prepared court-martial charges for me that never did materialize. And the interesting part of it was that he told me at that time, in 1949, he had to make daily reports as to any of his subordinates or any of his people, any sightings they may have had on unidentified objects. And this has always been a question in my mind, the concernment that we, speaking of we, meaning Army personnel, the United States government, had, the concern that they had about unidentified objects. So as far as I'm concerned, they exist. Now, what they are and whether we know what they are, or speaking we, meaning the government or the Air Force, I don't know.
Well,
but it isn't something that... I really don't know how to say it.
Well,
it just concerned me that the people are told it's balloons and it's this and it's the other thing when we were really concerned. The Air Force was concerned at that time, and I thought I'd pass this along because if you've never seen one or something that you couldn't explain, I would imagine there's a good bit of frustration for someone telling the story. But I did see one, and I saw something that I did not identify. Incidentally, it was sighted at different Air Force bases on up the line going towards Canada. And I don't believe it was ever explained, and I just thought it would be interesting to pass this along to you.
Well, we appreciate that, Paul. Laura,
yes.
Why are they hiding this information from
us?
Well,
I don't say they are hiding it. I say that if this is part of an overall plan that's greater than we are, you see, then part of it probably is a mystique or a mystery developed in order to intrigue Earthman in the first place. However, in connection with what Paul has just said regarding the Air Force, we had Captain Edward Ruppel come to Detroit to lecture several years ago, who was in charge of Project Blue Book, the saucer investigation at Wright-Patterson Airfield. And he told us that there was a time at the beginning when the Air Force was afraid it might have, the saucer might have been a more advanced missile or weapon of an alien or an enemy nation on this planet. And it was concerned. And it did give orders to the crews of ships, armed ships, to fire upon these objects if they showed any hostility. And then as time went by and they didn't, then that order was rescinded, and the Air Force left it up to the captain, the crew himself, to decide what to do, which is a pretty strange order when you stop to think of it.
Well, so, do they accept flying saucers today, Laura, the United States Air Force? As far as you know.
Well, you have read their report that comes out every so often admitting that there's a certain percentage that they can't identify at all and must call unknown. Now, one came out just this past August, as it comes out every year, July the 20th, and that there are a certain percentage that they cannot explain. And this particular article through the Associated Press said that the Air Force investigations had turned up evidence, quote, to indicate the objects come from space, unquote.
Paul, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you, Rod.
It's been nice talking to you. Mr. Paul Hopkins from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, a gentleman who witnessed a flying saucer. And the calls are coming in, and I'd like to invite you to give us a buzz here at Night Call if you have a comment you'd like to make on flying saucers or question you'd like to ask Laura. The number here is area code 313-84-66601. And remember, you may call us collect if you wish. Our guest tonight, Miss Laura Mundo.
Our topic, flying saucers. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite
self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine,
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
Proceeding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Flying saucers, do they exist? I guess that's our topic on Night Call tonight. Our guest is Miss Laura Mundo, an expert in flying saucers and a lady who is the founder of the Planetary Space Center. This is a center for the exchange of public information on flying saucers and spaceships. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question of Miss Mundo on flying saucers, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, our number is area code 313-846-6601. And our lines are open, the operators are on duty, and we await your call. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere, collect. Please make the call station to station. The number is area code 313-846-6601. And our lines are open. We have a caller now, Laura, from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Chester Verna. Hello, Chester. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
I can't hear you too well.
Well, we can hear you well, Chester. Your comment.
What was that again?
Your comment, please, sir.
Well, I'd just like to inquire into this flying saucer business there. I mean, I picked up a paper last night from, because I come from Worcester, Massachusetts. And we had a Boston paper here last night that showed a picture of a flying saucer. This guy took a picture of it. And, actually, I've been interested in it quite a while. As a matter of fact, I believe it's true.
What did the saucer look like, Chester?
Pardon?
What did it look like, the photograph?
Well, they claimed it was about, 3 feet, I couldn't quite describe what I read now. I'm getting, a little on the nervous side here. But anyway, I believe that there's such a thing as a flying saucer, and I just want to know what their scoop is there.
Well, I think Laura's been telling us about it, and I want to thank you for your comment, Chester.
I can't hear you.
I want to thank you for your comment. Mr. Chester Verna from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL. Laura?
Yes?
A 3 foot large or wide saucer, is this possible?
Diameter would be a disc. They'd have to be awfully small people to be inside of it. But they have been seen all sizes and all shapes, just as we have different designs for our planes and our cars and so forth.
So you have models in flying saucers?
Oh, certainly.
Well, now, when was the first saucer sighted?
Well, in this present decade, it was June of 1947 when Kenneth Arnold, who was a businessman in Boise, Idaho, was flying in his private plane out to the state of Washington near Mount Rainier. And he noticed suddenly that 9 luminous objects flying in formation in and about the mountains, they were about 50 feet in diameter, and taking phenomenal patterns and speeds and slowing up to hovering and all the rest. And when he landed, he reported what he called a sighting, and he describe them as looking like two saucers inverted over each other, or discs, and that's how they got the word flying saucer.
Now, you mentioned in this decade.
Yes.
But what about years ago?
If you go back, as I say, into folklore and into even pre-recorded history by word of mouth and ancient history, we might discover that our history has not had a proper premise all this time, you see. We might discover that we interpreted much that happened to the ancients in a too mystical way or an illusionary way that might have been real, very real, because if you project your consciousness into the consciousness of an ancient man who did not have even the wheel or a chariot, see, and saw something flying in the sky like Elijah did in the Old Testament, and he called it a natural thing, or wheels within wheels, and at first, as a reporter of the times, didn't really understand that there might have been people traveling inside of that. He just thought it was a strange bird, you see.
I see.
And if you think in terms of Jonah with his whale, now, that might have been a submarine-type spaceship that has also been noted. Kehoe, Donald Kehoe, who is one of the foremost researchers in this field, a former Marine officer, and he tells in his books that the Navy, as well as other sightings, reporting the submarine-type spaceship that comes out of the water into the air and has been seen going from the air into the water. So
this is lately this has been witnessed?
This was several years ago.
I see.
But there was one reported like that in Port Huron, just outside of Detroit, over the lakes as well. Although this particular one, the Kehoe reports that the Navy saw, and he was given access to the Air Force files for several weeks, you see, on this top secret project at the time. He says that was seen over the Pacific.
So Jonah and the whale actually was in a submarine.
Submarine-type spaceship, it might have been.
I see. This is a possibility.
Yes, if we go back and reinterpret how the ancients reported mechanical objects and experiences that were unprecedented in language that wasn't even as versatile as our language today, then we might place a different interpretation upon it. And understand that these people, more advanced people, visited the ancients, and in times especially of trouble, to pass on advice or to help the ancient man to help himself. And heavens knows we could use a little advice on this planet. I don't know whether we'd follow it.
It seems to me that you have religious overtones in
the
saucer
thing.
Well,
you're not going to be able to keep God out of anything. Now, God and religions, organized religions, are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And he existed a long time before man ever organized thinking on God. So this is his universe, and even though Earthman seems to have forgotten, it is also his planet. So what is happening to us as a new horizon is opening up here into outer space, then we may discover that everything is connected in some way or another. In other words, now our astronauts going into outer space, of course, is not forming a new religion or has nothing to do with religion, but they certainly give a little prayer while they're up there once in a while, and they certainly thank God when they come back safely, don't they?
I've oftentimes wondered why great crowds of people don't sight these things. Why is it only one or two individuals?
They have been sighted, but once again, the man who was trying to disprove this, you see, would explain that away as mass hysteria. Now, Claire Booth Luce described a carrier ship sighting over Rome in Time magazine.
A what?
Well, what is called a carrier or a mothership, which has also been seen. It looks like our old Zeppelins of the past, but longer and thinner. Now, that type carries the smaller scout ship or flying saucer in it through space, and the saucers have been seen emerging from that. Now, we have an excellent testimonial here of a construction engineer in Detroit and his neighbors and family who noted that type of ship over Detroit about 1960, and several saucers emerging from that. Now, that type of ship has also been seen all over the world, and in this particular instance, it was quoted in Time magazine and written up, it was seen over Rome as well by masses of people.
How big would this mothership be?
Well, it could be thousands of feet in length, and of course, we have ships on our drafting board that contain whole cities and think nothing of it. We haven't put them into action yet, but we're dreaming big, too, you know.
Laura, I have a caller, Mr. John Gardens from Findlay, Ohio, a listener on WBAL.
Fine.
Hello, John. Speak right up. You're on night call, sir.
Hi, Russ. How are you doing?
Real fine. Your question, sir.
Yes. Laura, I understand from listening tonight that people have actually seen these people from outer space. Is this correct?
Some people have claimed to have talked to them, John, yes. Now, Mr. George Adamski has written up his experiences in his book, but he is not the only one. There are other people. There's Dr. Daniel Fry, who was a rocket technician at White Sands Proving Ground. He has also written up his experiences and many other people. Now, part of our service as a public information bureau is if you write to us, we will send you information regarding the literature that is available, plus a newsletter that we exchange with countless civilian research groups across this country and many other countries, which will keep you up to date with the most outstanding sightings as well as saucer conventions.
Well, were the spaceships actually also seen here on Earth, actually landed?
People emerging from, them, yes.
Well, my question is this. A photograph of such a thing would be worth thousands of dollars.
It certainly
would. Why did someone take a camera and take pictures of these people emerging from the ship?
You see, that's just the reason that we perhaps haven't been brought into the situation any faster than what we have. Because immediately we exploit it for personal reasons, you see?
Yeah.
Already, of course, certain things are being exploited in our own space program commercially as well. So perhaps we have some space manners to learn. Perhaps these people don't want to be photographed yet. I don't know. Perhaps the people who saw the ships and the people emerging didn't have a camera with them at the moment, because I didn't when I saw my saucers, you see.
Well, it would seem to me that anyone that would see these people coming out of the ships would run home and grab their cameras. I mean, this is something, you know, natural that doesn't happen every day.
Well, you remember to do that, John, when you see your saucer, will you?
Well, I certainly would if it did ever happen where I saw these people emerging or actually even seen a saucer. I would take films of it.
If you had one handy, John. John, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, thank you very much, Red.
Mr. John Gardens from Findlay, Ohio, listener on WBAL. And I think we have time yet for a caller from Westminster, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mr. Herbert DeVries. Hello, Herbert. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
Fine. Thank you. I want to ask two questions. How does one go back into pre-recorded history in citing these things? If it's pre-recorded, it's not written down.
Well, if you would have to go into some of the sacred writings of other religions, which are actually their own history. If you go into that of India, you see, and into the Jewish Kabbalah, you will discover that those came down by word of mouth. Even Genesis was written down much later by word of mouth, you see. And much was told at that time. So if you go into the religious writings of all religions, you will discover that more advanced people came at certain times. The American Indian called them the white god, who came down from the sun in a fire basket, the electrical force field around the ship, you see, ionizes the atoms of the atmosphere, and at nighttime it makes them look just like a ball of fire traveling across.
This is recorded history.
It is now recorded. But it was pre-recorded by, it was word of mouth until it finally got recorded. It wasn't written down right at the time.
Quite so. Now, that would be a long time ago, would it not?
Yes.
And the language, there would be language differences, would there not be?
Well, and there would be a mistranslation and misinterpretation of the recorder and the translator and yeah, all the rest.
Quite so. So Jonah and the whale, the whale might be the same word in the Epicean language as the word sea, S-E-A, and Jonah might have been swallowed up by the sea. Could he not have been?
It could have happened as well, but I was using that as an example, not as a fact.
I see. Well, I thank you much. I just wonder how we can talk about, though, the records, which are pre-recorded, and then reconcile the differences in translations from these histories passing by word of mouth through into recorded history, as they might be mistranslated, as you said yourself.
Yes, but there are people who today, you see, have religious beliefs that have come down from that they take in total. Without question. You
Mr. DeFries, I have to break in now. It's time for a station break. I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you.
A gentleman from Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Our guest tonight, Miss Laura Mundo. Our topic, flying saucers. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Lizzie America. Lizzie America. Lizzie making money. Lizzie buying gadgets. Lizzie keeping up with you know who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment? Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line?
Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
Proceeding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight, Miss Laura Mundo, and she is the founder of the Planetary Space Center, which is a research outfit for public information on flying saucers and spaceships. So if you'd like to ask Miss Mundo a question or make a comment about flying saucers, or if you have witnessed a flying saucer, give us a buzz here at Night Call. The number to call us at is area code 313-846-6601. Now, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make the call collect. That's area code 313-846-6601, and our lines are now open. Laura, I have a gentleman in a phone booth up in Ottawa, Canada, Ottawa, Ontario, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Harry Costello. Hello, Harry. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
Hello, Ross.
Yes, sir.
I can't hear you very well. I guess there's quite a distance between us.
Yes, sir, but we're hearing you very well.
Radio in the taxi cab on the stand here, and we picked you up.
Yes, sir.
And we find your program very interesting. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, very well.
I'm sorry we have to reverse the charges, but that's, we have no change.
That's all right.
Enough for the pay station,
That's the way we run, Night Call.
That's fine, Russ. And about this flying saucer bit.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to another program from the States, quite some time ago, and they were discussing various sightings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can still hear me, eh?
Yes, sir, very well.
I can hardly hear you.
Well, and you go right ahead with your comments, Frank.
I beg your pardon?
We got Harry. There's the two names on the list here, Harry. Go right ahead with your comments, Mr. Costello.
Okay, Russ. What about the state trooper in California who claims to have sighted an object which landed? And, to prove his point, he took people out the following morning and showed them the exact spot where the ship was supposed to have landed, and showed them where the tripod or the landing gear of the thing settled in the ground, the Did you hear about that one?
Yes, and often the force field from the ship has burned the grass or singed the
grass.
That's
right.
Yes.
And what about the chap who claims to have been taken for a ride in one?
Well, several people have claimed that as well. Why not? Once they got here.
What about the young fellow that was out with his girlfriend one evening in his car, and one of these things hovered overhead and followed him for quite a distance?
Yes, that has happened too. In fact, it has even had a magnetic effect upon the batteries of the automobiles as well.
Yes, we've had no rumors of any UFO, I guess, unidentified flying objects around Ottawa or in this part of the country recently. It just seems to come in waves, you know.
Yes, we get reports from there, Harry. There's a very fine saucer magazine that we exchange with from Toronto.
I'm awfully sorry. I can hardly hear you.
I say there's a very fine saucer magazine in Toronto, and we get saucer sightings from Canada all the time.
Yes.
In fact, Canada has a very warm spot in my heart because it published the book of Charles Fort, F-O-R-T.
Yes.
Back in the beginning of this century, who did a tremendous research into strange phenomena seen in the skies up through history.
Yes.
And astronomy and education and the publishers in this country wouldn't touch it, you see. Now, you get hold of that book, and you'll really have something to read.
Harry, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Don't forget to... A chap by the name of Frank Reynolds was the instigator of this.
Yes, I have his name on the list here, too. I want to thank both you gentlemen for calling.
I don't know how many miles. It must be about 700 or 800 miles between us.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, thank you for calling.
I beg your pardon?
Thank you for calling, Harry.
Thanks, Russ, and we're listening to your program, and we'll tune you in a little more often.
Thank you, sir.
Depending, of course, on atmospherics, eh?
Okay, sir.
Okay, Russ.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Two taxi drivers.
Wonderful.
From Ottawa, Ontario.
Wonderful.
Let's go out to Denver, Colorado now. A listener on KTLN, Miss Norma Harper. Hello, Norma. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
I can't hear you very well, but I'll speak up anyway.
Okay.
I, too, have seen a couple months ago a strange flying thing that seemed to dive down immediately, and several people in this area cited some similar things. Yet I would personally be very skeptical about the superstitious and old wives' tale aura that some people might seem to revolve around these things, because they might be a completely natural phenomenon. And I would like to ask this lady whether anyone described these so-called men they're supposed to have seen, and whether they spoke, or they could tell whether they spoke in any language, whatever. Apparently, we've been able to get no description of these so-called people that have been sighted.
Well, if you have read any of them
at all,
Norma? Norma?
I hear that, very faintly.
If you had read any of the literature, the descriptions are in there, you see, and if you go to your public library, you can get books on flying saucers, which will describe the people. Now, they say
but
they
you
have...
you personally know of any description that was given to you?
Pardon me?
You personally know of any description that was given to you?
Well, Mr. Adamski has said that the man that he met was about 5'10", had blonde hair, blue eyes, his hair was down to his shoulders, a beautiful form and figure, and looking much more happy.
You know, I'm terribly sorry, but I cannot hear. The connection is poor, but as I say, I personally do not believe it belongs in the realm of superstitious or religious belief, and I can't hear, but I'm terribly sorry.
Well, Norma, we're sorry about the connection, and I want to thank you for calling. And thank you for your comments. Miss Norma Harper, a lady from Denver, Colorado, listener on KTLN. We have a caller now in Boulder, Colorado, listener on KTLN, Becky Shrum. Hello, Becky. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
I can hardly hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, real well.
Okay. Can you try and talk loud?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask your guest about the incident about a year ago in... I believe it was California or Arizona, a man who called previously mentioned it. It was the one where a patrol officer saw the ship, I believe he saw the craft go up, and there were, you know, the charred glass and the tripod marks. And would she briefly describe that and give a date if possible on that?
All right.
Well,
Well, I don't have that right at my fingertips. I would have to look it up, and if she wants to write in for the information, we'd be very happy if she wanted to give us her address.
Well, why don't we put it this way? Why don't you give your address, Laura, where people can contact you at the Planetary Space Center?
Fine. It's 24720. You get that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Carlisle, Carlisle Street, Dearborn, Michigan.
All right.
Now, let me see. Oh, I do have it right here, Becky. I have it right here. It's August the 2nd through Associated Press out of Oklahoma City that the Oklahoma Highway Patrolman saw several saucers at an altitude of about 6,000 feet, or at least the Weather Bureau, which also tracked it, said that that's how high they were.
I don't know. This is the one I'm talking about is where. Well, the way I heard it, I heard Dr. Alan Hynek, who is. Well, I didn't hear him, but my parents heard him. Who is, I think, the government authority for UFOs or something like that.
Yes. Anyway, he's an astronomer.
He said that he was describing this, and he said that this saucer. Well, the patrolman was chasing the speeder. And he saw something. He went over to investigate, and there was a craft on the ground, and there was what he described a humanoid standing beside it, who got into the craft, and then the craft went up, and the officer hit the dirt, you know, very frightened.
Becky, what's a humanoid?
Well, a human-type creature, you know.
I see.
With apparent human characteristics, although, you know, not a human being. He calls him, I think he refers to him as humanoid.
Becky, we're just about out of time. Let me ask you one question. Do you believe in flying saucers?
Yes, I do.
Becky Schrum from Boulder, Colorado, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Young lady, listener on KTLN. Miss Mundo?
Uh-huh.
When are the flying saucer men going to reveal themselves to those of us here on planet Earth?
Well, I couldn't tell you. I'd be the last one to know, I'm sure.
Again, I want to thank you for your comments here on Night Call. We've enjoyed having you. It's certainly been interesting talking to you about flying saucers, and I'd like to give your address of your Planetary Space Center again for people that may want to contact you, and that's 24720 Carlisle Avenue in Dearborn, Michigan.
Right.
And that's Miss Laura Mundo.
Right.
And if they didn't catch that address, they can just send a card to Night Call to the station that they're listening to, and we'll see that that mail is forwarded to you. Laura, thank you for being our guest on Night Call.
Well, thank you for having me, Ross, and thank WKNR.
All right. Miss Laura Mundo,
a gal who has developed and started the Planetary Space Center for public information on flying saucers and spaceships. Tomorrow night on Night Call, our guest, Miss Dorothy Height. Our topic, What Does the Negro Want Now? Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station as a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.